Please keep your arms and legs inside the ride at all times. Welcome to the Corey Connects podcast. You are about to embark on a thrill ride of the ages. Corey Warfield went from living on the streets to hanging with the elites. This growth hacker, serial entrepreneur, mentor, and social media personality has taken Connection to new heights. Hold on as we learn from globally recognized leaders who have used the power of Connection in areas of innovation, upskilling, technology, leadership, and disruption. So hold on to your hats. It's about to get real.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Corey Connects podcast. I am thrilled today to bring Bob Berg to the show. Bob, everyone listening to this knows who you are. You are a global game changer, but I think what people know you best for right now, you know, in addition to the endless referrals and all the speaking and all of that, is really the go-giver mentality. And so I'd love to hear, you know, it's the stratosphere success. It's this, you know, this journey of really how you can look at giving, but almost to get. And so I want to look at that concept of how intention plays into that. If you give to get, is it the same as giving? And you know, I'd love to just dig into that a little bit more with you if you're open to that.
Sure. I've never seen it as giving to get. First, we use the term receive as opposed to get, but that's fine. That's just semantics. It's really that it's you're giving to give because you want to add value to the lives of others. Now, the natural result when you give value to others, and we can go into detail what that really means, is that you create this benevolent context where you will receive. Okay. Now, one of the issues with this, I think, too, is that people say, well, but isn't that if you know that you're going to receive eventually or whether it's from that person or from where, you know, isn't that still agenda based? And what we want to do is kind of help people get off the what we call treacherous dichotomy or false dilemma. False dilemma can be defined as the unnecessary use of the word or. Okay. And just look at it as being a both, an and as opposed to an or. In other words, you're not a giver or a receiver. You're both. But you also understand that the way things work, your focus must be on giving value to others. We like to say that money is simply an echo of value, right? It's the thunder, if you will, to values lightning. But let's go back to really what we mean by go giver, because I think that will kind of clarify it just a little bit. When we say the John David Mann, my awesome co-author, when we talk about the go giver, really the premise is simply that shifting your focus, and this is really key, shifting your focus from getting, again, the focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. And not for any way out there, woo-woo type of magical, mystical reasons, nothing like that. It makes very rational sense. When you're that person who can genuinely and authentically take your focus off of yourself and place it on serving others, on helping them to get what they want, helping them overcome their challenges, helping them to get closer to happiness in some way. When you're that person, people feel good about you. People want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. They may want to do business with you if you have what they need or desire, but they definitely want to be your personal walking ambassador. Okay. And so the focus, though, is on the giving. We wouldn't say you're giving to get or giving to receive, though you're not doing that either. It's just that it doesn't have to be a dichotomy. You're just giving because it's who you are. That's how you do business. That's how you approach the world. That's not right. But when you do, you're creating that benevolent context for your success.
Well, and I love when you take the or into an and, because one can give and receive. And when one is open to it, and I know receptivity is really just the preparedness to be able to receive. And the more you can receive, the more you can give back out. And I think, you know, you talk about focus or you talk about perception, and that really does seem to be what it's all about. And now in this era, and I see you all over every platform, but I feel like I talk a lot about the law of reciprocity. And I think social media is a way to amplify that so much, because there are micro ways to offer value on social media. You can give somebody a follow or a like, right? You can give somebody a comment, or you can bring a few other people into that conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've been able to leverage as well. But to me, it strikes me that you've been doing kind of the whole networking, you know, we can network forever, we can all meet each other, we can all help one another, for like decades before social media ever came about. And so how does it kind of feel to see some of your ideas from, you know, frankly, decades ago, starting to really be so well received? And, you know, do you feel as though you saw this as an inevitable future that you're now stepping into? Or is this something you kind of never thought you would see?
Well, I mean, I'm not one who sees into the future well at all. There are a lot of people who do that. They just can kind of see these trends happening. I'm really not like that. And I'm not an early adopter. I wish I could say I was, but I'm not. So in the mid to late 90s, as the internet was kind of becoming a thing, I never saw it as ever being anything big. And I certainly never saw social media as ever being a thing. And even when social media began to be a thing, I came in kicking and screaming. I really wanted nothing to do with it. So once I understood that something was what it was, now I got, you know, then I understood I needed to understand it, and then ask the question, how can the same relationship principles that I'd been teaching for forever, and you know, the main one, the one I'm probably best known for, is all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. You know, how does that really, and what people would ask is, can you build those know, like, and trust relationships actually through, you know, social media? Well, absolutely you can. The same principles apply. The same principles apply. It's taking your focus off of yourself and simply asking yourself, how do I bring value to other human beings? Now, value, by the way, because we've used that word several times, value is simply the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, information, connections, whatever it happens to be? What is it about this that brings worth, that has so much worth or value to another human being that they will willingly want to take part in this, whether it's through doing business with you or being in relationship with you, being in your social circle, referring you to whatever it happens to be. Okay. So regardless of whether we're tweeting or posting or thising or thatting, whatever it happens to be, you know, we always want to ask ourselves the question before I hit enter, is this bringing value to others? And remember, value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we think is of value or what we think they should think is of value. It's what they do, what they think is valuable. And, you know, the most successful people look at it through, you know, through that lens.
I love that. And I want to go back to something you kind of conjured in me earlier, because I know you and I share, although, you know, I aspire to do as much for the world as they. But we both share a love for animals, a deep love for animals. And I love all animals, and I've had a number of them, but I have my two big mastiffs, and you know, they're right here with me. I've got my bull mastiff and my Conde Corso.
Hey, and, buddies.
So here's the one big guy. Nobody listening can see that. And then the team may cut that out. But I say that to say this. I can have the best day ever professionally or the worst day professionally. And it doesn't really matter. I can get back to my apartment and I can see my little girl and I can rub her belly. Right. And it doesn't matter. That brings me to a homeostasis. My life, that's all I really need in this world, is to just love that belly and watch her smile. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's bringing value. And it's I think it really is this whole exchange. And so when any time we can bring joy into this world, it makes the world that we are in more joyful. And I just, you know, I think it's amazing to be on the line with you, having you quote yourself on things like people, all things being equal, do business with people they know, like, and trust, because some of these concepts that you've shared with the world have had such a kind of rippling effect. One of the guys that works for me at one of my companies did a whole post about you just the other day. I thought he must know you were coming on the show, and I mentioned it, and he lost his mind. So I don't mean to put you on the spot like this, but how does it feel? Because I know that you hear it daily. How does it feel to know that you've truly impacted humanity? Do you think about that sometimes as someone that's truly, you know?
I always take it as a great compliment when I know that someone has found value in my work. Absolutely. And when people tell me that, it's the nicest thing I could ever hear. You know, I think first, because as a human being, we want to be acknowledged. Oh, well, I know the people listening can't see that, but you're on the video. You're scratching your mastiff's ears, and oh, how cute. Oh, beautiful dog. I think as human beings, we all want to feel acknowledged for our work. And I think as human beings also, we want to feel as though we're part of something bigger and that we're making a contribution to the world and that we're helping to kind of nudge the world forward a little bit. So when I hear or learn about someone whose life has been helped in some way from one of our books, oh, yeah, that's a huge thrill for me. I never, ever take that for granted.
What's on the horizon for you?
Well,
all the Go Giver stuff, obviously.
Well, my business partner, Kathy Tajnell, and I have put together something called the Go-Giver Success Alliance, which is a private global mentorship community. So that will be releasing, well, from the time you and I, the day you and I are speaking, that will be releasing soon. So we're very excited about that. That's just, you know, something we're just so excited.
So I've been involved in some global mentor initiatives. I'm a managing director with Founder Institute. I mentor a number of people. So through that lens, that really interests me. Are you able to go maybe down just a quick rabbit hole on what that's going to be bringing to the world?
Really, in a sense, it's going to be a group of people. They'll be from all over the world, you know, just because we do business really all over the world. And it will be a community where we'll be meeting once a week for a 1-hour Zoom call. It will be our virtual Rachel's Famous Coffee shop, if you remember from the book, Rachel's Famous Coffee. And it will, you know, it'll start out with a teaching lesson and then some Q&A, but what it will really be is group strategizing, helping people with challenges they're having and having different perspectives and viewpoints from all the successful people in the group. And, you know, Kathy and I have found when we did those live, it just, you know, raised all ships. I mean, it was just, so now we're if we can put together a whole bunch of people from all over the world to do this. I mean, what a fantastic thing it will be for so many people's businesses and personal lives. And aside from the 1-hour weekly Zoom call, because that's really just the start of it, they'll have access to other personalized videos I'll put out that's just for them that I'm not putting out, you know, on my public blogs or other videos, as well as, you know, more access to me just because it's part of the whole mentorship community. So yeah, we're, you know, very, very excited to launch this.
That's amazing. Is there a pre-launch sign up or is there somewhere that people listening to this can go get involved?
Yeah, there's two things. One, if they go to Go Giver Success Alliance, so without the and without the hyphen, just Go Giver Success Alliance, it will take them to a page that just says if you want to be notified when we're accepting members, to put their name and email in there, and then we'll let them know. Or if they go to burg.com and they subscribe to our mailing list, and when they do that, they're going to get a whole bunch of really great videos anyway on how to build their business. They'll also be notified when we send an email to our list.
That's amazing. And I'll tell you, I talked to people like Les Brown and a lot of these people have similar programs and I respect mm-hmm. them. My friend Damon John, like all these people, and it's, they're doing something similar, and I wish them well, and I'm sure it's for people. This is the first time I've ever kind of inched towards the front of my seat, so I think I'm going to have to go sign up for that as well. So this being the Corey Connects podcast, we're doing things with Corey Connects, the company, as well as this show, but I always like to ask people what connection means to them, and I know you and I kind of put a few seconds of thought into that before we hit record, but kind of revisiting just whether it's a definition, whether it's a concept, whether it's just a feeling, what does connection mean to you as someone that has really and truly brokered so many connections, both inadvertently, and I don't know if vertently is even a word, but intentionally, most certainly.
Yeah. You know, Corey, it's funny because connection is typically part of a definition of something else, right? But in this case, I think we could see connection very simply as a congruency between two people. You know, there's a congruency. There's a good simpatico, a feeling between them. They both are on the same wavelength. There's an energy there.
What I love most about that is I think that it implies positivity, that a connection is truly something positive.
Yes. Absolutely. I like that.
I love that because maybe then a non-positive connection is a collision, right?
Maybe, yes. I like that. Very good.
Well, Bob, I just want to say, you know, on behalf of a whole lot of us, thank you for all that you do. I was really excited that a guy that's involved in one of my ventures said that he'd had you on his show, and he's fantastic. And I don't want to say I got jealous, but I said if I had a genie in a bottle right now, and you know, here we are. And so I think it's proof positive to people that, first of all, you can truly, you know, meet people beyond your typical scope when you just kind of go give, right? When you're putting stuff out there, trying to make other people's lives better. Mm-hmm. And so if you had social media back when you were kind of getting your start, what do you think you would have been doing differently today? Like if you've been on these platforms for 30 years, because you've got great followings, you're putting out great teachings, but I do feel like you're less of like a huge persona on some of the platforms, and then on others, you're bigger in life as well. You should be. Do you feel like you're, I know what you said about kind of not wanting to jump in initially with social media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if it was back, if it was there when I first started, because remember, I'm 63. So I really began speaking, I think, back in the early 90s, even maybe late 80s. I'm not sure at this point, too long ago. And so, you know, I think I just, had it been something that was there when I started, I would have just, you know, it would have been natural to, you know, to jump right onto that. And again, I think social media, I think the best thing about it, yeah, well, two things. One is it allows us to access and potentially connect with people we may otherwise never have been able to, okay? But then what it really does, because that's just a start, is it allows us to drive a relationship pretty deep with that person if we go about it correctly. And so I think I just would have used it as another tool in order to make connections with people. I mean, when I started out, it was you get on the phone and we had our lists of potential, you know, speaking prospects of or groups, organizations, companies, and you went through the directories, you made calls and you try to make a connection. And once you got one and there was some interest and you could qualify their interest, and then you sent them materials and you followed up. And it was a whole, you know, but you did what was going to increase the chances that you were going to be the person they wanted to bring in. My, you know, biggest strength was creating relationships that I could do through the telephone and through, you know, through what I sent and how I followed through with it, which is the system I used when I was in sales before that and the one that I taught in endless referrals. So, you know, that was just something I did. Had I had social media at the time, I could have just, you know, done the same thing, only more so. And through the, you know, through the various platforms. So I don't think there would have been a big difference. It just, I think, would have allowed me to do more with what I had.
Sure. And maybe touched even more people's lives. But I know you're selling millions of copies of your book back then. So I think you broke through some of that noise anyhow. But I do. It really just strikes me that some of what you had been talking about is what's now so possible. And at the same time, the world's changing so fast. Now we've got blockchain and crypto and so, you know, these new platforms like Clubhouse are popping up, and I see that you've been on Clubhouse as well. Do you have, are there any social media platforms that you either absolutely just love and can't get enough of, or some that you don't quite get?
It's a great question. The ones I'm on basically are LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Instagram, I really don't enjoy as much. And I know a lot of people do. So I'm kind of the odd man out in this, but I don't find it navigatable or navigable. So I don't enjoy that as much, but I'm still on it because I feel it's a place I kind of need to be. I'm enjoying Clubhouse. I'm not, you know, the kind of person who's going to spend 2 days straight on there, like a lot of people on Clubhouse seem to be doing. And I mean, I'm not judging. That's fine if that's what they want to do. I'm just not the person who's going to be doing that. So I kind of pick my spots a lot more. But there's a lot of rooms I go in and join just to listen, just to sit in the audience and listen. And I just love it. I mean, there's some wonderful information being shared there. And on other ones I'm on and I speak doing, you know, interviews and so forth there. So yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything else. The medium, you know, the platform is the platform and all that's fine. And they all have their great points to them. But I think it really is just how you show up. And if you show up looking to make genuine connections and to, again, bring value to others, I like to say be internally motivated and externally focused. And I think if we do that, you know, we start out 9 steps ahead in a 10-step game.
I love that. And, you know, obviously, people can find you anywhere on these channels. I highly recommend that anyone listening to this that's not at least following you on LinkedIn. I love your content there.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I know the engagement that I'm able to get there has won me a lot of, you know, business investment team and all that. And so, you know, for people to be able to go there and kind of get daily doses of your wisdom is absolutely wonderful, Bob. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I not only had a blast having you, but I learned something from you. And I feel like energetically, I'm set. I'm in a good place. I got to talk to Bob Berg. So thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it. And I'll be continuing to follow you. And I hope everyone listening to this continues to do the same.
Well, thank you.